And I'm going to just roll myself right in. Good morning.
Good morning.
A little different for me this week. I went from kind of a hard shell to a cast. So we'll have that for a couple weeks and be working on that and just enjoying the fruits of that labor. Trying to do stuff lately is just not working out the way that I want it to. So that's the way it is. But hey, we're here in worship. Deborah was here with us earlier. She's gone down to a Tiger game. So we're having a little bit of technical issues today. What a surprise. So if you see the stand in front, not because I want it to be there. What's ended up happening is one of our sound pieces has failed this morning. So we've got it working up there. But Facebook Live is over here, so we're hoping that the sound this morning was a little bit better, but we've got some work to do to fix that. So you're wondering why all of that's there. That's why it's there. But we're here. We're here to worship the Lord, and we're going to do that with our opening song. So if you want to stand or sit, whatever you're comfortable with, we're going to worship the Lord today. Huh? Well, it's live, so... I'll post it afterwards, but it's coming through.
Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's holding the power. Battle, every knee will bow before Him. God is the Lamb that was slain, skin of the world and promise to change. In every knee will bow before Him, the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. The Lord Almighty, our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power, and every knee will bow, and every knee will bow before Him. God is the Lamb that was slain, the King of the world. In every knee will bow before the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
The Lord Almighty, who can stop the Lord?
Come this morning, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Father, we are grateful that you brought us into your house. We're grateful that we can gather in your name. We're grateful, Father, when things don't work the way we want them. Father, you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, we just pray that you will bless all the things that we hope to accomplish, that it would give you the honor and glory, Father, that your presence is in this place and we worship you, truly giving thanks for all that you are doing. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. Well, my semester's finally finished and the new one starts Monday.
How'd you
do? Haven't posted the grades yet. I'm hoping that I've done okay. I honestly don't know. I've looked every day for the last week and hoped that the professor would post them. Our last assignment was due on Thursday, so I'm trusting I did okay, but we'll see. This next semester is already in full swing. I've got about 120 pages to print and get ready, and posting's due today, and I'll start working tomorrow. So that's okay, but it's our research proposal. I'll be spending a couple of days down in Ashland, Ohio, working on my proposal, my status. And in the spring of next year, I'll be doing a writing seminar. And hopefully by the fall of next year, I will be done with my thesis. I'll present it and be officially graduated. So we'll see. Time will tell. Don't clap until I get there. It's still a work in progress. What else is going on in the life of the church? We have one more class that I'm doing on Wednesday night. I don't know if you caught Wednesday night at all, but I did Wednesday night. I shared a song then. We have one more part from Bob Moss's book. We'll finish that Wednesday night. And then guess what? We're back here. Can you believe it? It's already September. We posted the September calendar. I posted the bulletin. Hopefully everything's going to flow. I know that some of this, it shows it's live, so. Okay. So, unfortunately, we had a pingle break this morning, so the sound was not working. So, I apologize for that. So, I had to do an alternate, so you're getting dual streams. But we couldn't get sound back there through the computer, so I did it on my phone, but we're using the sound for everything else. Go figure. But we're grateful for that, and we'll be ready back. Hey, we haven't decided what our first meal is going to be. Any thoughts?
Food.
Well, yeah, I know we're going to have food, but we're going to be ready for summer food or ready for fall food. You guys got a couple of weeks. Maybe next week we can decide what to do. Go ahead to the next screen. Youth conference coming up at Lighthouse Community Church of God. That's coming up September the 7th. So, a little last-minute notice for us, but we'll try to reach out to Ivana and see if she's interested in going. Maybe I'll tag along with her and take her, but that's coming up if you have any youth that want to go. What's next? The Malu Family Gathering. You know, in the past, they've done this on a Sunday morning. This time, they're doing it Saturday. Saturday, September the 14th. We're going to be at Metro Parkway. There's going to be all kinds of games and everything, so it won't interrupt from church. There was a lot of difficulties with getting the churches to close down, and a lot of them were not attending, and we were attending, but so now they moved it to a Saturday so that we can have a little bit more time. We'll be in the pavilion. It is $10 for parking, though, So if a group of you would like to go and you want to gather here and we drive together, that's awesome. But there, it's in a Harrison Township Shelter, Part 3. There'll be food, there'll be games. They're also doing a white elephant this year. They're saying if you want to bring a glass around, yeah, they're suggesting $5. Well, where are you going to go get something for $5? You can't, almost can't even buy a Starbucks drink for that. Okay, so at any rate, if you want to buy a present to pass for the white elephant, by all means, go ahead. But that's gathering there. There's hot dogs, hamburgers. Another great time is planned. What's next? Fall conference. Evanswood Church is holding a fall conference in October. Along with that, in October, I have a board of directors meeting in Lansing for 2 days. I'll be gone on a Friday evening and a Saturday morning. Hope Crossing is actually doing a 75th anniversary. So they have an anniversary coming up. They have a special guest speaker. 75. Did I say 70?
No, you said 75. I thought it was 70.
I think it's 75. But that's coming up at Hope Crossing. They got a, and on Sunday night, they're having Sanctus Rio come in.
Okay.
So quite a group. Which is very unusual. Somebody knows somebody and they agreed to come in and present a conference on Sunday night. But you got the Minister and Laity United Conference that'll be at the 18th, the 19th, and 20th at Evanswood Church. What up next? All right. I think that's all the stuff I need to make for the life of the church. We got some prayer requests. We want to continue to keep. I received a request this morning for just guidance and direction. Just an update, the insurance company denied our claim. They said that the failure to the furnace was due to age more than to the storm. So we're going to try to go back through and bring flame back out to have them reassess the situation. But according to HVACI, which is the auditor who came out to adjust and check everything, he said the furnace was had failed more due to age than anything else. So right now we're trying to take some next steps and see what's going to happen. More than likely, we're probably only going to be able to, I just, as much as I would like to replace both furnaces, I think a fiscal sense says only replace the one that's broken. And if the other one breaks down, then we'll deal with that as the time comes. But I'm afraid my heart says, yeah, to do it because it makes sense. But to spend $19,000 or $20,000 at one hurdle is a lot to accomplish. Unless God opens the doors and blesses us with somebody who just wants to give half of it, then or up to it, we'll go from there. But that's where we're in progress. I just want to keep you updated because I know that's been a topic of our conversation. Am I missing anything for the life of the church? It's hot in here. So, you know, don't mind me. I'm taking my coat off. All right. Best hymns. We're going to sing a couple of well-known songs. One is How Great Thou Art, and the other one is Onward Christian Soldiers. I tried to find the best opportunity I can for the music, so sing along as you will, but we're going to worship the Lord. Go ahead, John.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of soldiers on to victory. nations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, now your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus strolling on before. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng. Then with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
That should bring back memories. We used to do that in Sunday school as kids, and we would always have to do the marching. I remember that well. All right, what's the next one? This one is more of a contemporary song for you. All of these have to do with our message this morning.
All I see is a battle. You see my victory. And all I see is the mountain. You see a mountain move. As I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, that'll be belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, that'll belong to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you are for me, who can be against me? Yeah. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Oh, I see on the ashes, you see the view. And all I see is the cross, Lord, you see an empty tomb. When I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh, mighty fortress, you've gone before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Shadow, you win every battle. Nothing. nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, eagle before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. I am the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. When I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, battle belongs to you. Oh, battle belongs to you.
Thank you, Lord. When we get to the book of Ephesians today, and our verse, this will make a lot of sense. And the next one, hopefully the chorus sings along fine, but this is an old favorite, How Great Thou Art. Hopefully the melody is okay to follow.
And I am awesome, wonder, considered role, the world I have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died, to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Great thou art. How great thou art. Great thou art. Shouts of acclamation and take me home. A joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. How sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
As we prepare for a time of prayer, again, we want to continue to keep the shut ins. Those who are away on vacation, those who are having difficulty. We're just facing a lot of different things now. And the world and the climate leaves a lot to be said. So let's just pray. Father, we've gathered in your name, God. Sometimes, God, it's just good to bask in your presence. Father, to know that we are onward Christian soldiers, when that song was written and the power of what it meant to step forward into battle and to go onward. Father, we're not going back. We're going to press onward. And we're going to just continue to press forward, Father, because how great thou art. Father, when we sing that song and we overwhelmed with the power to know that, just like Phil Wickham, God, when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high, giving joy and honor and glory to the King of Kings. For you are the Alpha and Omega, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And God, we're going to face challenges, whether it's my ankle or whether it's cancer, whether it's sickness, whether it's aches, whether it's pains. God, you know us more than we know ourselves. Father, you know exactly what we need. And we just want to honor you today, God. Honor you in your infinite wisdom and your grace that you would hear us. Oh, Father, whether we're all the way in Kenya or right here in Sterling Heights, Michigan, whether we're all the way over on this side of Michigan by the waters, whether we're in St. Clair or Marine City, Father, you know us. Whether we're all the way up north, we could be all the way in Mackinac or the Upper Peninsula, but God, you know where we're at. You know, as we're sitting here right today, what has brought us here, and that we are here in your presence. You know what the week has been like, Father, and you know what today has brought. Father, there might be those that are watching, those that are listening. Father, just want to rejoice. Just want to breathe in your presence. Maybe they're challenged at work. Maybe work is being overwhelming and there's a lot of things on their plate. Maybe the forces around them. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's family. Maybe there's direction that's needed. Maybe it's wisdom. All of those things, Father, you're able to do for us. And yet we pause to recognize that even in all of that, God, there's a world around us that is shaking. There's storms and flooding and tornadoes and political upheaval and just all kinds of things. Father, every day I read the news and I'm challenged to read about a little child getting a gun and being injured. And I read about families and devastations and murders and wars. And you think, God, is it going to get any better or is it going to get any worse? I don't have those answers. You do, God. That's why you're God. And I just pray today that, Father, even in this moment of time, that you'll allow us to witness your presence. You'll speak to us, God. When we face the challenges and the technology doesn't work the way we want it to, we find another way. You found another way. Even when you said you were the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by you, there are others who try to find another way, but there's only one way, and that is you, Jesus. Father, I'm grateful that your hand has been upon my life. You've guarded me and protected me through this journey. I'm thankful that the semester's ended and we're ready to start a new semester. I'm thankful for your hand and your providence and your love. I'm thankful that you know all things, God. And it is through you and in you that we find your peace and grace. I'm thankful for Bethany, God, even though we're facing the challenges with the furnaces. God, I know that you'll provide the resources and I know you'll give me wisdom to make the right decision. I know, God, you'll lead us. You'll walk with us. And Father, you know what we need. You know exactly what is needed, and you know how we need it. So we're trusting you, God. Trusting you that you'll open up the doors. Father, whether it's gifts, whether it's wisdom through flame, whether it's another source, Father, that you would give us the grace that we need. And I know, God, this is only a momentary blip, only a momentary thing, but Father, all things are working for your good. Because you said that all things will work for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. We love you, God. We're called according to your purposes, and we're here in your presence. So we ask your blessings now. Father, we continue to pray that you'll provide continual healing on Suzanne's life and continued direction. Continue to touch Charlotte as she is at home. Give her wisdom, God, in the long hours. Watch over her, Father. Bless those who are away on vacation. Bless those who are out and about doing summer stuff. Bless those who are working. Father, bless our churches in the area. Continue to be with Tom and Brent and Mark and all of the churches in the area. And bless us, Father. Give us your wisdom as we need it. And God, we just want to thank you and praise you for who you are. Sometimes, Father, we don't even know what to pray. And you tell us how we should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And God, before I say amen, I ask your hand to continue to be upon Brother Gary and Sister Jean. Father, as Gary continues to recuperate, give him strength every day. Watch over the two of them. Give them rest as they need it. Give him strength to his body, Father, as he recuperates. And we'll thank you, God, for your anointing and your hand watching over us. For this we pray and say, amen. You can put the title up for me, John. More than physical strength. You know, I thought it was in decent shape for the shape that I'm in. Until you try to do everything on one leg and try to do everything that you think you normally used to be able to do and keep your leg up in the air. But you know, oftentimes we depend on our physical power. But there's another aspect of our lives that we need so much, spiritual power. We're facing a lot of things today. N.T. Wright, I was reading his book about Christianity. N.T. Wright said, once we glimpse this vision of the Holy Spirit coming to live within human beings, making us temples of the living God, it should make us quiver in our shoes when we're able to grasp the point of the Spirit's work. Did you hear that? When God comes to live in us and the Holy Spirit comes to empower us and the living God comes and lives and reigns in us, it should make us shiver in our shoes as to what God is able to do to grasp the point of the Spirit's work. To that I also mentioned that the enemy should be shuddering in his boots. When we recognize the power that God has given to us, it is so much more than physical strength. You know, there's a lot I used to do. Still like to try to think I can do all things. But when we think about spiritual strength, it is more than the physical strength around us. When the Holy Spirit begins to invest in our lives, I think we're living in a time where physical strength is one thing. And trust me, I've come to appreciate that physical strength. But I recognize that we need spiritual strength that plays an important relationship to our physical strength. We're not only challenged with individuals, with circumstances, with wars and rumors of wars. The enemy is wanting nothing. Every day I see how everything that we're doing to try to develop and live the Word of God and live it out in our lives, there's always another one, naysayer, alongside of us. Another one who says you shouldn't believe in God, and they should tell you, well, look at your church. Your church is just on the next step from closing. you might as well just close it up and go on about your business. And I was talking to someone this week, and I basically said, as long as I have breath, and there's a breath in me, as long as there's one person, whether there's 99, it is about the one. Everything that we do, everywhere we go, everything that is said is about the one. If we can be successful in bringing one, as long as we are able to, the enemy can just take a hike. And he wants to come in, wants to bring confusion and doubt and frustration, wants to tell you your physical strength's not there, you don't have the financial resources. Oh, by the way, you would have taken that blow with the loss of the furnace and just said, oh, we might as well quit. We can't afford to pay for that. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to accept what is given to us in words that are negative. We're going to continue to invest in the positive. We're going to keep taking the steps forward, and we're going to recognize in our spiritual strength, I don't necessarily need the physical strength. I need it for some things, but we're going to trust the spiritual strength that God has invested to us. And we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep taking step after step. We're going to face the battles just like Phil Wickham. When I fight, I'm going to fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. I'm going to say, how great thou art. Because we have a God that we know. Onward, Christian soldiers. We're going to keep marching forward into the battle. No matter what comes, we can rest assured today that it's more than physical strength. And God has given us the ability to fight our battles and to know there already won. There's something about that, to know that when I face them, I can face them with the calm assurance that He is still God and He has won the battles. I need this portion here to go forward. Forgot about this part. It's not moving for me, John. Let's see. There you go. Today's scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. In your large print Bible, it's page 1824. If you're able to, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. I so want to stand up straight. All right, finally, Paul says to them, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now, I could take this passage in a lot of directions, but I'm going to stick to the physical strength aspect. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. In other words, Paul is trying to say very quickly here that when you've come against the evil one and you're able to stand your ground, after everything is all said and done, hear what he said. You're able to stand. You will not fall. You won't be defeated. He said, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take of the shield of faith with you, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord, for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. May God add a blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated. Now recognize for just a moment that Paul himself is writing the closing words in Ephesians chapter 6. Recognize that Paul himself is in prison. Recognize that Paul is facing chains and he's locked up. He's been preparing the church for some time now. Paul knows that there's a battle coming. He knows that there's a war being waged with Christians in his day and will be waged throughout generations. And while this sermon has multiple legs, and I've heard Sister Bonnie preach this message and have her hats and all kinds of different things, and she's done a marvelous job, but I'm not Sister Bonnie, and I'm going to stick to what I need to here. I'm not going to give you different kind of hats to wear. I'm not going to put on a belt. I already have one on. Dad used to always say, never trust a guy who wears suspenders and belts anyways. At the same time. So, I got my belt on, and we've got all the tools united, but astonishing claims have been made about God and the uniting of humanity. One might conclude from such soaring claims that there is no more struggle against evil, either in the world or within ourselves. Really? Of course, we have ample evidence of daily experiences. Even in chapter 6, Ephesians has been clear, they're facing spiritual forces. Though defeated, they're still active. God's victory can be snatched away, but the enemy has not surrendered. In this text, the church is enlisted and equipped to stand on God's side in the continuing conflict. So this battle of what is called epic consequences is not only waging in the heavens, it's waging in our lives today. So, given all that, a battle is waging right now in heavenly places. There's a lot of people who think that Satan and the evil forces don't exist. They talk about hell, they talk about heaven, but there's some idea that the serpent has moved around. Yeah, I noticed that. I'll try to keep myself active where people can see me. But what we notice is that there's some rumors that Satan was cast out of heaven in the beginning of Genesis. Well, we know there was a conflict, and Satan wanted to be like God and was a fallen angel. Now, he wasn't necessarily cast out, and we won't see that until later. But the serpent was given a curse. In Genesis 3:14, the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, enticing Adam and Eve, cursed are you more than any other livestock. I'm going to make you bruise the heel and bruise him on the heel and the head, and you're going to be spent out of the garden. And Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. He drove man out also in the same way. It's only later that we hear some cursory relevance to the serpent being cast out of heaven. In Revelations 12, verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and his angels waged war, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven, and they were cast out and thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Jesus even said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The context of these words, return to them that they see in Jerusalem, they return and report, and there's this whole host of enemies that he sees falling like lightning from heaven. There is reference of Satan's fall from heaven in the mind of Isaiah in chapter 14, verse 12. And we see the access in 14:12, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of dawn. So there's this idea of this battle that is waging throughout eternity. When the disciples back up to report of their joy, their authority over demons, Jesus in so many words tells them they should not have been surprised. Satan is a fallen foe and has always been the subject of authority and in a battle with the forces of Christianity. When we talk about revelations in many of these, we see a lot of illustrations from the end times and battle waging. Jesus has power over Satan and the power to save us still today. Believers face a spiritual battle of forces in equal circumstances. Here is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. With God's Spirit, we don't need to fear Satan or the evil spirits. Rather, we depend on the Lord for our victory in our struggles and trust that God will persevere for us in heaven's inheritance. Paul talks about this armor and talks about there is a battle waging. For Paul, in the book of Ephesians, as Ephesians rolled out, the church in Ephesus was really struggling. And Paul could see that there was going to be a war waging amongst the Christians. Now, we live in a cozy little haven, don't we? Sometimes I haven't been out lately. All I get to see is the world moving around me and two little squirrels running up and down my fence, stealing my tomatoes out of my garden. But for me, the world is moving around me. I'm not interacting like I used to. I'm not fighting the battles on the ground with production and different things. But I'm fighting a battle in my mind to keep my mind moving and active and occupied. You might say, well, it's just different. You don't know what it's like out there. Well, yeah, I do. I've lived it, breathed it. You go into work some days and I see the stuff on Facebook and what's been posted. And I know there are families that are struggling. The churches are struggling. The spiritual forces in heavenly realms are strong. And Paul recognizes that. We know and we must recognize. If we say there's no battle going on right now, I think we just have blinders on our eyes and don't want to see it. You can confess and realize there is a political battle going on right now. And that political battle is going to get heated up in the next 6-8 weeks or more. And you're going to hear all kinds of things. And you're going to be forced to make a decision to vote or not to vote. You're going to be forced to make a choice. And I say forced. You don't have to. You don't have to vote at all. But the likelihood is that many of us will vote. The likelihood is that many of us will engage in conversations around politics, around work, around finances. You'll watch the stock market move up and down, and you'll recognize that everywhere you turn, you'll read about it. Families that are struggling, you'll hear about a storm coming across Hawaii, that they're facing potential flooding. You'll see in places where floods are coming, you'll hear wars or rumors of wars, and you'll hear all kinds of things that are coming. The problem is many of us, we don't want to admit that they exist and we're in a battle. But the truth of the matter is, Paul knew that. Paul knew that he would be waging war with the forces around him, and it still exists today. However you call that battle, whether it is a spiritual battle or whether you're having a physical battle, there is a battle going on right now. And Paul describes for us a dramatic scene. I like to think the armor is necessary to win at all costs. Now, I've been in some conflicts before. Beth wants me to play some dominoes or Monopoly at home or some cards. I said, I don't want to play. She goes, why not? Because it's too much competition for me, because I want to win at all costs. I'm just going to be honest. I don't like playing a game I can't win. Come on. I used to be very competitive when it was softball, and I'd do everything I could to keep the opponent from winning. I'd throw the ball as hard as I could throw it. I'd stop them from coming into home plate so they couldn't score a run. I'd do everything I could, because that's just the competitive nature. But we're given a scene here, a military scene. I've not been in the service. I've not stood with assembled troops. I've not delivered a rousing speech of an anticipating coming battle. The troops here are reminded of their heritage, their promised honor as a result of their bravery. They're assured that they will prevail. When Joshua went to cross over into the promised land, Joshua faced the giants, the Amalekites, the many of the great giants that existed in the land. And Joshua said, don't worry about them. Yeah, okay, Josh. Thanks. That was a rousing speech 40 years earlier. Joshua was one of those ones who went into the promised land and he came back and said, yeah, we can do this. There's no problem here. Now, whether you like Shakespeare or Henry V or Patton or Braveheart or many of the battlefield speeches, one of the things that we are assured of is before they go into battle, there's always a speech to say, you can win. That speech was given in heaven thousands of years ago when God brought forth and breathed life into us. You're going to win this battle. Eternity is in store for us. And I'm going to do everything in my power. God told us that He will provide all things for us so that we can win the battle. Earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, they were informed of God's great power and the cosmic rule and the authority the church shares in the victory of the body. We see in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, he said to the church, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations." Paul is gearing the church up. He's giving that rousing speech. He's saying, listen, let me just set the stage for you. He is able. We've heard the song, more than able. He is able. God has instilled for you and I an unlimited power through the source of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, and through the Godhead that he has blessed us with, that we have unlimited power, unlimited sources. Paul recognizes that. And then Paul says, oh, by the way, he is more than able. Now he's going to do immeasurably more. You know what happens when we rely on self? Self lets us down, doesn't it? Sometimes when I rely on my own strength and I think, God, I got this. You okay, God? You got plenty on your plate. I got this. I think I can get through this. God, just go ahead and why don't you take a break? And I'll just sit down and relax. And God, I got this. You go ahead and take care of Joe down the street. I don't need it. Church, what happens when we rely on ourselves? We don't trust God. We forget who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We forget who provides the provisions for us. And we have to be assured that he has unlimited measures for us. Next, Paul says in that same passage, it is more than we can ask or imagine. Have you ever lived in a realm to where you've just dreamed about? I've had some wild dreams this week. Boy, I wish I could just tell you about them. I've had dreams that I just, epic battles. I've not been able to sleep. I've been staying awake till 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, finally falling asleep about 3 o'clock, and then arousing myself around 7 and thinking, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't have to get out of bed. This morning, last night, thank God, I fell asleep early and woke up early. So we were on the moving in. But can you just imagine what your imaginations can hold? See, the problem is, as human beings, our imaginations are finite. We can only see so far. We can only believe so far. We can only imagine so much. And what Paul is trying to tell the church is, it's more than we can ask or even imagine. You know, there's a problem. Oftentimes when we ask God for something, we ask it within the realm of what we think is possible. And what happens when that goes, we depend on ourselves more than we depend on God. And what essentially is saying is, God, I got this. I'm only going to depend on you into what I believe can happen. And what God is saying, it's more than we can ask or imagine. Paul is telling the church, you've got to think big. If you think God wants to only give you 10 people in the church, then that's all you're going to get. But God says, I want you to think 1,000. I want you to think that you can expand your territory. I want you to think that there's more than what's beyond your recognition. Because when we do that, we now depend on God. And then he said in that same verse, according to the power that is at work within us. Now, there's something about that. The armor's necessary to win at all costs, but we need to recognize that there's a power working in us. When we accept Christ, and when we begin to recognize his unlimited power, there's something wonderful to understand. I can tap into the resources. He is all of that. He has given me the assurance. It's more than I can ask or think. And God has given us the power. And then he says in the closing verse of that section, chapter 3, to him be glory in the church throughout all generations. Well, he's setting the stage for the church and the body of Christ. That not about a building. We must get that in our heads. That when he talks about the body of Christ, he's talking about you and me. When he says the body of Christ, we're the body of Christ. It's not this building. Although this is a nice place to worship and gather, and we've got all the fine resources when they work back there. But we have a place to where we can gather and celebrate and worship. But the body of Christ is where God wants to give us victory in the battle. First of all, armed in a struggle with evil, the saints of God are most oftentimes on the defensive. You know, when somebody comes at you, Mr. Miyagi said, best place to be is not there, right? When you're going into a battle, you don't want to be there. The best fight is not the fight at all. It's on the defensive. And what we see is a story here that Paul is saying, I don't want you to be on the defensive. I want you to be on the offensive. I want you to move the lines forward. I want you to carry the battle cry out. And I want you to know that we are going to win at all costs. And then he gives us this whole idea that God has provided the necessary resources. While we're likely to have a view of heaven as paradise and no evil dwells, the writer of Ephesians is drawing on a different set of assumptions. The armor of God that is given to the church takes up and relates to the message the author has already laid out. The implications and the metaphorics, ideas and the spiritual battle, Paul is setting the church up to understand the power of what he's telling them. He gives them this belt of truth to prepare ourselves to know that we have the truth of God's word. We have it wrapped around us. We have it in us. The truth of love, to love one another. And then this whole breastplate of righteousness. Now, I know what the breastplate meant in battle, but we've been given this righteousness that is not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our mortal bodies. That we have been bought with a price, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been given that righteousness. I can only take on the righteousness of God when God has taken on the sin of my life. Did you hear that? I can't take on the righteousness of God until God has taken on my sin. He did that through Jesus. And similarly, because of that, we have been given a new self. He has clothed us in righteousness and the true righteousness of God. He said the gospel of peace. Well, we know that in earlier times, Jesus said, I come to bring dissension among families. That's a tough part for us. He knew that there would be family members who wouldn't understand the power of his word. He's getting us ready that we put on the shoes, the walking feet, preparing the body of Christ that we go forward into the cross. Paul was there. He saw it. He witnessed it. It was a message of reconciliation for the church. In all of that, he says, take up the shield of faith. Take up the faith and the power of God and the salvation and the wonderful gift that comes from the believer and that Christ dwells in the heart of believers. And he closes in verse 18 around with this idea of prayer, taking on the full armor of God. The author also prays on behalf of the church for their strength and their understanding. Paul's kind of giving us an idea in the close of this that pray for me, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Why would Paul tell you that? Because Paul knows that prayer is the power of unlocking God's omnipotence and God's activity and the Holy Spirit's occasion. And he said, pray in all kinds of spirits, all kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests, knowing that the enemy is roaming and knowing that it's through the power of prayer that we understand what God is doing. The church is struggling, is a heavenly one against the powers. Notice Paul's phrasing. He said, because we're putting on the full armor of God, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against you. It's not against me. It's against that evil one who wants to come in and say, church is not working today. Just close it all down. Wouldn't that have been easy? Would not have been easy just to say this technology's not working. Just going to deliver the message and nobody's going to get it except those that are here. We pressed on. Regardless, we pressed on. The church and all levels, Paul is saying, I'm in chains. This armor is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and authorities and the powers of the dark world. The armor does not mean that the church will not encounter difficulties. It will. And the church must persevere through prayer and boldly claim the gospel. Finally, the battle's already been won. Boy, there's something about that conclusion in this. It's a major resistance and a major resource for working by the Spirit. Persistence in prayer is a hallmark of trusting God's care, relying not on our own self, but the abilities. You want more than physical strength? Trust in the power of God. Trust in the power of prayer. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God. Put on the armor of God. Put on the full things that Paul has spoken about, the full armor of God, so that when the evil comes, not only will you be able to stand your ground, when everything else is done, you're still standing. The beauty of that, you might be facing a battle and you think you're going to get knocked down. What Paul is trying to remind us is that when all things have come, when you're standing firm. Why? How can I stand firm? Not in my physical strength, but in the power of God. Paul said that, who is our solid rock? Jesus. Who was this cornerstone? Jesus. Who was the one in all things are anchored in? When we stand on the rock of God, on Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. The conclusion of the text contains a bit of irony, but even in the apostolic truth, physical strength and spiritual strength are necessary, but we've already won the battle. You know, Wednesday night, I had no idea how this was going to link together. I was several months out in my context. I had no idea how closely chapter 7 was out of Bob Moss's book was with what I was doing on this Sunday morning. The last 3 weeks have been very inclusive of all this whole idea of a battle. What it tells me is that the church is preparing. The church is preparing. There must be something coming our way that God needs us to be prepared. Be on the same page. Be moving forward. Going into battle. Recognizing that God is at work in the church. So I trust you. Find time for prayer. Depend on not only your physical strength, but your spiritual strength. Put on the armor of God. Be ready today. Because when the battle comes, we've already won. Father, thank you for the blessings you provided. Thank you, God, that we can lean on your resources more than ourselves, and we can trust in you. Father, have your way as we close this time. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Cue up the last one for me, John. This is Jeremy Camp's song called The Same Power. What do we need?
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us. Lives in you. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us. Lives in us. Lives in us. Lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength there is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us.
God, you can. that's the word today. I picked this song in closing because there's no weapon that can prevail. We stand here in victory. That same power lives in you and lives in me. And I just pray today that you'll take that message forward into Monday, into Tuesday, in the whole week, and until the time we come back again. That he's conquered our enemy. We have nothing to be afraid of. There's no darkness, no weapon. Nothing shall prevail. Father, I pray for the people of God today. I pray that, Father, you will invest in him. You will live in us and live in those who hear your word today. Go with us, God. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Go in his peace.